You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi, thank you for joining me for this next mini message. Yesterday I suggested that there were three me's that can replace God's best version of me. The me I pretend to be, the me I feel I should be, and the me that others want me to be. And today I want to just look at three more me's that can replace God's best version of me. First one is this, the me I'm afraid God wants. A recent study found that the number one challenge to helping people grow spiritually is that many people equate spiritual maturity with just trying hard to follow the rules in the Bible. And no wonder people said that they find themselves unmotivated to pursue spiritual growth. If I think God's aim is to produce rule followers, spiritual growth will always feel like an obligation rather than a desire of my heart. Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, the Apostle Paul wrote, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping. There's an enormous difference between following rules and following Jesus, because I can follow rules without actually cultivating the right heart. And embodying Jesus well is not so much about following rules, but becoming like Jesus, following his ways and being like him. Jesus did not say, "I've come that you might follow the rules." He said, "I've come that you might have life and have it with abundance." And when we cease to understand spiritual growth as moving towards God's best version of ourselves and abundant life, then when we're asked the question, how's our spiritual life going? It frightens us. We have a nagging sense of guilt and a deficit of grace. It prompts us to say, not too well, not as good as it should be going. And people often use then their external behaviours, their devotional practices to measure their spiritual health. They measure their spiritual life by how early they get up in the morning or how long they read their Bible or how many church services they attend. And all those things are good, but if we just do them in a dutiful way, we're missing so much of what it is to follow Jesus. We all know that we've got an outer body, as it were, as being shaped all the time by what we eat and drink and sleep and exercise, all that sort of stuff. And we may do this poorly or well, we may be intentional or not, but it will happen. But there's also in all of us an inner life, our thoughts, our desires, our will, our character. And this is being shaped all the time by what we see, read, think and do. That inner you is so important, and spiritual formation, as it's called, is the process by which our inner self, our character is shaped. Some people think spiritual formation is something that religious people, monks and stuff, do in monasteries, but actually it's something for all of us. We're all being formed spiritually. Everyone's got an inner life that is being formed. And we flourish when our spirit is rooted and shaped by the Spirit of God. And God wants to do that in a way that uniquely fits us. And that's what brings life. The next me I just want to look at is the me that fails to be. John Ortberg uses the word languishing. He describes it as a condition of somebody who may be able to function but has lost a sense of hope or meaning. Languishing is not the presence of mental illness, it's the absence of mental and emotional vitality. I think many of us have been feeling that over this last few months. In ancient lists of deadly sins, it was called acedia, a weariness of the soul, an inability to delight in life. We speak of dead marriages or dead end jobs, and to languish is to feel a sort of deadness. And languishing is the opposite of flourishing. I read one quote that said this, "When I come to die, I would discover that I had not lived." We don't want to be like that, do we, when we die? Often people have dreams for their lives, and when they're young, they can be massive. But over time, they sort of simply give up. I read of the writer and artist, Gordon Mackenzie, who tells of visiting children in nursery schools and asking them, who's an artist? And every hand shoots up. But this decreases to half by the time the class finishes infant school. And by the time students are 12 years old, if you ask that same question, only a few hands go up. And over time, many of us find that becoming the me they were meant to be just becomes too hard, or it just seems to be taking too long. And we can give up on our growth and on our life's purposes, and we can languish. But there's a person inside all of us wanting to come alive, I think. And Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, and life to the full. You throw a rock and it soon stops moving, but plant a seed in the ground and something happens. It sends out a root, it takes nourishment and grows up to be fruitful, to be spiritually alive. And to be spiritually alive means to receive power from God that has a powerful and positive impact on you and therefore on the world. So what are some of the ways God gives you life and vitality? What are some of the ways God gives life and vitality to you? Is it nature? Is it spiritual friendships, worship, solitude, serving, study, celebration, scripture, recreation, exercise, family? What is it? Have a think about what brings life to you. The final me is the me I'm meant to be. And I love the passage in Ezekiel 37 where God shows the prophet Ezekiel a vision of languishing, a valley full of dry bones. It was an image of a failure to thrive. And God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel asks, you alone know. God did know, and he made them come alive if you read the story. And I'm believing that God wants you to grow and me to grow. He created the very idea of growth. Paul said that in Christ, the whole redeemed community grows and builds itself up in love. So our flourishing is never just about ourselves. It's a so that kind of condition. God designed you and me to flourish so that we could be part of his redemptive project in ways that we otherwise would not. He wants you and I to flourish so that people can be encouraged. Music can be written, gardens can be planted, the sick people can be helped, the companies can thrive, and all the other things that God calls us to do. And when we fail to become the person God designed, all the rest of the world miss out on the gift that you are. Jesus said that with God all things are possible. And the great thing is that life with God is, and the next step is always possible, because God, we are God's handiwork and he's doing a work in us. So just five different me's that can replace the best version of me, the me I pretend to be. Pretending is not something that is helpful to do. The me I feel I should be, the me that is always comparing myself to others. The me that others want me to be, always trying to meet others' expectations. The me I'm afraid God wants. Wrong idea of the sort of religious rule following way rather than the joyful following Jesus way. The me that fails to be, the willingness to just survive rather than thrive. And finally, the me that I'm meant to be, God's best version of me. Why not just spend a couple of minutes praying and asking Jesus to help you with any of the the me's that just have thought, I do that. The me's that might have taken the place of the best version of you. Because we're God's handiwork, and he wants us to engage with the world, as we'll see next Sunday. But in doing that, he wants us to embody him well. And we're going to look at that next time.